Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Bubble Boy is in the studio today. How are you, man?
I am doing great, man. Yourself?
I am good. I am good indeed. It's a beautiful day.
Yes.
I mean, look at it outside. This is diving weather, I tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in here in Orlando, Florida. The sun is shining brightly. It's actually cooled off just a tad. So it actually, you know, we're getting a little reprieve from the heat here in Orlando this weekend, which is, I don't know, it's a nice change.
It's long overdue.
But it's not cold to the point that we would never dive. You know, we could still dive, still enjoy the underwater critters and everything below deck, so to speak, and have a good old time. So I'm looking forward to planning just that. Now, we have the details finally to share officially on my first dive after open heart surgery. Have you did you see the little post there up at scubaradio.com there, Bubble Boy, or no?
No, I don't know how to read, Greg.
Of course. Well, let me explain to you what it said. The first day of DEMA, which is, I believe, November 16th, that Wednesday, whatever that Wednesday is, 3 p.m., we're going to all convene right there at the Go Dive Now pool with Big Wave Dave. Jump in the pool, and I'm going to do my first dive since open heart surgery. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Matter of fact, that will time out to just over 3 months since my surgery. So my cardiologist has cleared me to do the pool dive all of 4 feet. So it's not going to be an extreme dive. But really, the whole point of me doing this is to bring the entire dive industry together, create an awesome photo op for everyone, and just show everyone, look, if I can do this after 3 months, you can too. And so it'll be fun to bring everybody together. You know, everybody who's been on the show since I've started putting this together have said they're going to join us. We're going to talk to Weiland today, see if we can get him to commit. I got some other folks that, you know, you've heard in the past, over the last few weeks, that have all said that they'll join us, whether it's the dive guide. Of course, we'll have Jerry, the diver guy there. And you know, all the dive industry celebrities, people from Divers Alert Network, Patty, you know, they'll all be there in DEMA anyway.
Now, Greg, I do know that Big Wave Dave puts a special chemical in the pool. So, you know, you got to be careful.
Well, can you blame him?
No.
No. You know, I went and I had a little powwow with him last Sunday at the Coconut Grove Seafood Fest. I did go down there, hang with everybody, the dive guide, Captain Slate. All of them said they'd join me. And I talked to Dave about the logistics of doing this at the pool. Like, how many people can we fit into the Go Dive Now pool there at the DEMA show before it starts filling out, you know, splashing water out all over the convention show floor? And he said, I don't know. So we're going to push the limit as far as we can go. He didn't mention anything about any kind of color-changing chemical in the pool, but I know it does exist. And, you know, we'll see. But it's going to be a fun time. I'm really looking forward to it. Now, the bonus to all of this also is that our friends at Vivid Picks has helped me put together a little thing that if you're not able to join us at the DEMA show, not everybody will be able to join us in Vegas, or they may not be in the dive industry per se at that trade-only event. There is a way where you can still kind of show your solidarity with my effort to, you know, draw attention to the fact that, hey, look, if I can do this, anybody can do this. Don't let life's little bumps get in the way of you pursuing your favorite pastime of scuba diving. That's really my mission here with this little stunt that we're going to pull at the Dima show. You can still participate thanks to our friends at Vivid Picks, software. Basically, you can download this app to your computer or iPhone or whatever and enhance your photos. It's like a kind of a diverse, version of Photoshop, so to speak. It's really tailored at making underwater photos in particularly easy to enhance, with special filters and things that they have built into the software. So Vivid Picks, vivid-picks.com. You can go there and check it out. But here's the kicker. Even if you don't join us, you can download their software. They're going to donate 10% of every purchase to Dive Heart, which is really nice, a great organization. Jim Elliott and the gang there, they do a great job at trying to get people in the water that have had physical challenges, whether it was an accident or they were born that way or whatever, and getting them into diving, which is they've been doing great work for many years. So 10% of your purchase will go to Dive Heart through the end of 2016. So now, starting right now through the end of the year, every purchase, 10% goes to Dive Heart, and you will get 10% off your purchase. So it's kind of cool. So, this has nothing to do with the actual dive at Dima. You don't have to be there to take advantage of this and show your support for what we're doing. And if you want to go the extra mile, take a little picture of yourself and give the thumbs up, because that's what I plan to do when I'm in the Go Dive Now pool for this little photo op we plan to do on the first day of Dima. Now, the code you'll use when you purchase that Vivid Pick software, and this is all right there at scubaradio.com, is scubaradio.dh. That'll be your coupon code you put in there to get that 10% off and have 10% go to Dive Heart. So there you go. That's the big news to share with everyone today, and obviously we'll be promoting that heavily over the next few weeks as we get ready for the Dima show. And if everything, nothing else, on top of everything else, we're going to be recording our 1,000th episode of Scuba Radio. So it's crazy stuff we got coming up here in a few weeks, and a good time for all. All right, so Bubble Boy is in the studio with me. Also, via the web, we have Jerry the Diver Guy and I think Pete from Scuba Board. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Welcome. What's going on?
Yeah. Pete is there, too. Excellent. So we got those two guys. How are you, man? I should say I know what Jerry's been up to, because he was hanging with Megan Heaney Greer last night. Am I right?
Woohoo! That's right.
Yes. So he got on, last week we were talking to Megan, who is the star of Treasure Quest Snake Island, which launches November 4th on Discovery Channel Season 2. We had her on last week. And, she was talking about the anniversary of her world record free dive from like 20 years
ago. 20th anniversary.
20th anniversary. So last night, Friday night, she had a live, web thing. Now, I was out, so I couldn't join her live there, but I saw a little bit of it earlier today on the replay. But I saw you were there, so you participated in this event. Am I right, Jerry, or what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I sent her a couple questions to ask.
Yeah, what were they? What'd you ask? What'd you find out about Megan?
I asked her, one, if she was going to be ever considered doing competitive diving again. So,
And her answer was?
No.
No. Okay. She's she's a freaking
TV star.
In a
long tangent, as she said, no.
Probably not likely.
She's got so much going on with these other projects that she's not going to have time.
Yeah. Well, you mean like her conservation efforts, or what do you mean?
Her conservation efforts, her Snake Island efforts. Yeah. Just, she's got all kinds of things going.
True. True.
She's Superwoman.
Well, she is. She's a great gal. She really is. And I saw her talk a little bit about the new season a little bit more than she talked about it on the air last week, because they've told her to keep it kind of hush hush until it debuts on Discovery Channel. But she did talk a little bit more, kind of lend itself to the idea that something big happens on this season. That
she was hinting about it.
She was definitely hinting that there's going to be some big news shared on Treasure Quest this year. And it, by the way, it follows Gold Rush on Discovery Channel. I love that show too. I watched that last night, and I don't know what it is about that goofy Gold Rush show, but I swear I don't miss a single episode of that. I watch it. So that's their lead-in. So that's going to be huge. Because that's one of the most popular shows on Discovery right now. So I hope it does really well. And, of course, Macon has said that she will join us at DEMA for the first couple of days and be a part of my dive and that kind of thing. So that's good stuff. Anything else did you find out from her live chat there that you can share, Jerry, or no? What do you think?
That's about all that I gathered.
That's about all you got out of it.
There was other things. She hinted around about, you know, the episode. She went into doing some training stuff for the future free divers, the kids and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
You know, she told how she trained. She just went into several things.
Well, so, very nice.
It was a good live cast.
Well, it sounds like interesting stuff. And you can check the replay out. Just go to MaconHeneyGreer.com or Google it. I'm sure it's out there. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know Dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Going face to face, or face to snout, I suppose, with a giant shark. The woman who shot this video tells us the folks who helped her into that cage hope to change shark's reputation as a vicious man-eater.
There's some sharks in that water, that water. That water, you can't swim in that water. That water, that water, you won't win in that water. That water, that water, there's some sharks in that water. That water, that water, you won't win in that water.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the Dive Master Bubble Boy, in the studio. Now the video with the great white in the cages that we were talking about last week on the show hit the mainstream media this week. It was on Fox, CNN. They were all talking about it when they were bored talking about the election. And they all just like, ooh, ah, and you know, that was pretty much it. I didn't see anything, you know. Actually, I saw one of the anchors on Fox defending shark diving, which was kind of amazing to see.
I can't believe that, Greg.
Sounded like, you know, she goes, well, you know, it happens, but these are pretty cool dives. And so it sounds like she might have participated in such a thing over there in Guadalupe. So I don't know. Have they been talking a lot about that on Scuba Board there, Pete, with the shark cage video
it's
dives?
It's come up
Yeah.
Some this week. Probably not as they're not talking about that as much as they're talking about the unfortunate deaths at Eagle's Nest.
Ah, yes, the cave divers.
Right. The national news.
You say that hit the news too?
I was on Good Morning America.
Oh, I didn't see that one. That's way before I get up. I'm like, good okay, afternoon, then. America. If they had such a show, I'd catch it every single day. But good morning, yeah. But I didn't know that. That actually,
yeah, it did not make us look good.
No, what are they saying? That cave diving restrictions need to be elevated? Is that what the overall vibe was from it, or what?
Well, you know, the vibe was they were kind of, when they talked about cave diving, they visually shuddered, which I was like, okay, that was an interesting thing. They were talking about the tragedy. However, remember the father and son who died, who shouldn't have been in any cave, who died there a couple years ago?
Yes, I do.
His grandfather's now trying to lead the cause to have that Eagle's Nest closed down.
Oh, and, really?
Hmm. You know, it's these people made a choice, and they made some bad choices, and not everyone should be penalized over that, especially the father and son. That was tragic, but man, that was their all on them. That was their tragic.
Yeah, I hate
they
this whole.
Have been in there.
I really am not a fan of this whole protect us from ourselves kind of mentality that you get into when you deal with these things. I mean, you get the same argument on the shark cage dives after those videos. Like, oh gosh.
You do.
We got to stop that immediately. See, oh, that's terrible for the sharks. Oh, they got injured, and oh, those poor people. You know, like, and of course, the people that do it, they've already said they want to go back and do it again. But you know, they overlook the positive elements of going out and doing these things, and nobody goes on a shark dive like that or in a cave, let alone diving in a cave, that knows what they're doing without knowing the risk that they are taking on if they've done their training properly. Now, if you get
that's
some...
That's half the fun,
yes.
Greg.
Yes. Well, it is.
That's half the fun.
Yeah, I mean, part of taking a little bit of a risk is... I can understand the push to that, but, you know, it's like anything. You learn how to do it properly and mitigate the risk, and the rewards are sometimes overwhelming, especially when you're doing things that, you know, 99% of the population doesn't get to do. I mean,
or 99.9% of the population doesn't get to do.
99.9% of the population that doesn't understand.
Well, they don't understand exactly. They don't understand what's involved and how the training is done. And if you do it properly, it's actually extremely safe. And of course, when something goes wrong, it's blasted all over the news like it's an epidemic, and that's just not the case.
And you know, smart divers take things in increments. They don't try and dive the Titanic the day after they get certified. They see what they were, where they want to go, and they try and map out their path. And it might take years to get to where they want to go. It might take them months. However long it takes, it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're doing it properly. Now, if you got some yahoo that does something that they shouldn't, of course, he ends up making everybody who does it responsibly wrong. But, you know, to me, it kind of comes back to the Darwinism thing. You know, like you break a rule that you know you shouldn't have broken. Well, you know, you're going to get what's coming, unfortunately. You know, but it's unfair for the people who do it responsibly to take a black eye because of your irresponsibility. Does that
Amen,
make sense?
Brother Greg.
Yeah. Okay, he agrees. Fair enough. So, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, the only good thing about the shark cage diving thing, I was kind of sad to see it pop up on the mainstream media, but that just goes to show there was a slight lull in the news. Yeah, I think it was right after the debate, and they're trying to, like, hey, we got to fill with something. We don't have any new salacious stuff to talk about here for a while. What do we do? Hey, sharks,
nobody got
work.
Hurt.
Yeah, no, exactly. No one got hurt. I saw a lot of the argument, though. Oh, the shark was bleeding, and oh, it was hurt terribly bad, and blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'm like, first of all, they don't know. Yeah, there was some blood that I saw coming out of the gill of one of the sharks on those videos, which I'm sure it wasn't, painless. However, I mean, you know, stuff happens sometimes. And it swam away, and hopefully the shark is fine. It was just freaked out. But it wasn't like someone was doing something necessarily irresponsibly, even on those things. And they'll look at it. They've already, the two operators that were affected by that have already said that they're going to obviously evaluate the situation. I'm sure they've done it a billion times already and like, hey, what do we got to change in our procedures to make sure this type of thing doesn't happen again, both for the customers and obviously for the sharks. So well, they'll actually, learn they, from it.
They yeah. broke some rules on that one.
Well, I know which one you're talking about. And I,
there
I've
were two
read
incidents.
That.
Did you know that?
Yep, yep. I knew.
And there both of them broke small rules, but you know what? It's no one got hurt. Great. Mm-hmm. Let's learn from it. Let's tighten up those rules. They're there for a reason.
Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about. They'll evaluate it and say, hey, what do we got to do to fix this? Because if anybody knows the bad publicity they got out of this, it was those operators. So they definitely have a huge incentive to fix this to make sure it doesn't happen again, just from a business standpoint. So they're definitely motivated on more than just the fact of probably personally not wanting that to ever happen again. But all the good that they do and all these shark dives, do for people that experience this, I just gets overshadowed. And that's so frustrating to me sometimes because it really does so much to change people's perception of these animals when you get in the water and witness them like that. Would you agree
like
with
Randy Jordan? He's done so much good for sharks.
Yeah.
And he's got a few people who like want to blame sharks' behavior on Randy.
Yeah.
And it's like they've been doing this since the dawn of time. You think he's really having that big of an impact? Don't think so.
Yeah. Well, not, and he's doing way, way more good than any potential bad. But try telling, that to someone who believes the other way. It's tough. It's a tough argument sometimes with these folks. But what are you going to do? Just keep moving forward. And that's what we're going to do next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Yeah, go dive. That's way better.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bubble Boy, in the studio with me. I will warn you, later on the show today, Scuba Radio's Drunken Sailor is scheduled to come into the studio. He has asked me to assist him in a pitch with the makers of Mermaid Rum. He has an idea of how he can help promote this product or pitch them on becoming a spokesperson or something. Bubble Boy is popping the cork of this fine concoction as we speak. There's just a few fumes left in that bottle, but they still remain here in the studio. But I warn you in advance that that's coming up a little bit later on. Also, Weiland has promised to appear on the show today. We saw him at the Coconut Grove Seafood Fest last week, and we plan to touch base with him a little later on. All right, so Pete from Scuba Board is with us via the web today down in Key Largo. He's just been doing a lot of cave diving himself. You brought up that video and that news story that's been around about the Eagle's Nest incident. Was that on everybody's mind where you were diving there, Pete, or what?
Yeah. If you're going to do Eagle's Nest, you not only have to be cave certified, you have to be Trimix certified. And I wasn't doing anything near that. In fact, I'm just now starting to teach cavern, and I was actually teaching cavern courses this last week.
Hmm. Okay. When did that Eagle's Nest thing happen, by the way? How long ago was
Sunday,
that?
Sunday, a week ago, or maybe okay. This last Sunday. Might have been this last Sunday.
All right. So were you teaching classes when you heard about it? Or no?
Say it again now?
Were you teaching when you heard about the incident or the accident or what?
I heard about it after I finished teaching.
Uh-huh. Okay. So you didn't have your students come up like, hey, what happened to them? Like, will we end up like them? You didn't have any of that yet.
After the fact, they sure did.
Okay. So they reached out via email. Yes, I understand. And you set them straight. All right. Well, we'll get to the bottom of Pete's adventure, because I know he's been doing quite a bit of diving up there in the Florida Springs, northwest of us here in Orlando. Next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
One of the great things about being on location when you're shooting Survivor is that when you have a day off, you have the ocean to go play in. A few seasons back, we had an afternoon off, so I decided to go scuba diving with Maria Sundin, one of our producers, and Mark Burnett, the executive producer of Survivor, The Apprentice, Rockstar. So, we get out there, everybody gets on the boat, there's a whole big group of us, we all get suited up, we get in the water, we're with our dive master, Pete, and we all start to go down.
His dive master, Pete. Was that Pete from Scuba Board? I don't know. Could have been. Pete, were you helping out the folks on Survivor? You're the only...
Yeah, it was not me.
You're the only Scuba Pete I know. So I just figured it was you.
They would call me Net Doc.
Oh, Net Doc. That's true. On Scuba Board. So you would have done that. Jeff Probst would have at least gave him those type of props. All right, yeah. By the way, the latest, season of Survivor's airing right now. I don't even know where it is. I don't know if they've really identified the location as well.
I think it's Aleppo.
Okay. It could be.
Incoming!
It might be. There's no telling. But regardless, you know, I love watching that show. I wish they would incorporate more diving things into it. I will tell you, every time I watch it, every season of Survivor... when they do the things where they have the contest where they have to jump in the water and swim and they'll give them a mask. They did that on this last week's episode. And nobody knows how to friggin' swim, let alone
nobody.
Wear a mask and dive into the water properly. You can tell they're not divers because they're jumping in with the mask on or they're... I saw one guy literally hold the mask, jump off the deck, and then right before he gets in the water, he let his hand off the mask. I was like, what the hell
catch
is going
I'm
on
falling.
Here?
I can't see, damn it.
You know, if you go on Survivor, let me give you a tip. Go take a scuba class. You will be light years ahead of your competition.
Or a free diving class.
Or a free diving class, absolutely. At the bare minimum.
You'll still have to pay. It's not free.
Better yet, just get me on and be done with it.
Okay. Yeah, we've been trying to do that. Yeah.
We need to get a new video going here.
I guess we do. Yeah. I mean, have you heard anything on that front lately, Jerry? Or no?
No.
Nothing.
I guess they're too ashamed to even tell me I sucked.
Well, tell you, they probably think you sucked on air, so that might be good. Anyway, we can always, we'll always be pulling for you. So, yeah, you know, Jeff and the gang of Survivor, don't forget Jerry the Diver guy. He would be the best contestant you'd ever have on that show. All right, let's talk more about the diving, though, that Pete's been doing in the caves. And you, the last, I don't know, what you've been now diving there for, what, 2-3 weeks at least, haven't it? Haven't you?
I've gone up a couple times over the last 2-3 weeks. Okay. I'm loving my van, my new Transit 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome van to go diving out of. But, you know, it doesn't take much to twist my arm to say, okay, I'm off to the caves. And I'm gone.
Yeah.
And this time I've had 3 students. I think one is bowing out. It's not for her.
Okay.
But I have 3 students that are taking different classes, cavern classes, and you know we're taking it real slow. I don't feel a need to like push them through. This is my first time teaching this class. I want them to get it right.
Yeah, you know when I hear Pete describe what he's doing with these students of him, he says he's going in his scuba van. I just can't get Scooby Doo out of my mind. And think that they're pulling up to Eagle's Nest in his mystery machine.
Nitrox.
And, you know, what's her name?
Ray Raggy.
Well, what's the girl's name on Scooby-Doo?
Oh, Velma.
Velma.
Daphne.
Daphne finding out that the cave diving isn't for her, but the other two guys are good, Shaggy and what's his name? Yeah, okay.
Fred.
We just never want to hear Rut-Row at depth.
No, we don't.
Rut-Row.
We don't want to do.
Right.
But that's usually how it would sound. If you tried to speak underwater, you'd sound like Scooby-Doo. Yeah, one of those. Oh, boy. Okay, so...
You know, one thing I found out about a rebreather, and I can't wear that during class, by the way, but boy, can you be heard when you're on a rebreather. It's like you're talking into a microphone.
Interesting. Well, yeah, you would have that airspace, cool. I guess, as long as
you got both tubes going up behind you, but beside you, and it acts like a little amplifier. But when people are doing, like, I was with a buddy who was about to swim out into a channel at Blue Heron Bridge, and I yelled her name. She turned around and looked at me, like, and the look in her eyes was like, "Were you that surprised?" She says, "I was surprised I heard everything you said."
Really? She was like, "Shut the hell up." Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, all you need is an airspace, and you can talk underwater quite well. Well, it was at DEMA the last couple of years. I've seen that guy with that big, long air pocket tube thing.
Yeah, he lives down here in the Keys.
Yeah. I haven't seen anybody using those out in the water, but I've talked about it on the air when we saw him at DEMA. Have you seen anyone actually use one of those?
I don't think it's for prime time quite yet. I need to talk to him and find out how close he is now.
Yeah. I mean,
he wasn't quite ready to do it last year, but I haven't really seen anything out here, and I'm sure I will when he's ready.
Yeah. Well, it would look like a big, long tube thing. It was flexible, you know, kind of like a sex toy.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it was really kind of strange.
It looked like an elephant snout.
Yes, exactly. And it did not look like the kind of thing I would really want
say on
to
air.
Look underwater. What's that? What do you mean? Say on air?
One thing you can't say on air?
No, I'd say it on the air. I just think it doesn't look very cool, I guess. It just, like you said, it looks like a big long hose or something. And, you know, there's something to be said that, you know, when you're diving, you want to look sleek. And, you know, hey, I got this big long hose hanging from me. What do you speak into this? And you just feel dirty.
Snuffleophagus.
You know? I don't know. Yeah.
Exactly. You have to feel very confident in your manliness and your diverness
okay.
to use that.
Maybe that's what it is. All right. But what you know, the diving that you did, you weren't at Eagle's Nest anyway, though.
No. Yeah. I went to Paradise Springs,
yeah,
which is a cool place because open water divers can go there. It's like $35 to get in there, stay all day, bring sandwiches, you know, have fun. Mm-hmm. But it's really a cool little dive. It's a very small opening. And then, you know, it gets big where you can, like, stack semis sideways and on top of each other. It's just a huge place. And you can see the surface all the way down to 80 foot or so. And they open it up to open water students.
Yeah, interesting. So you don't have to have even a cavern certification to go do that, huh?
You don't have to have a cavern, but I would recommend bringing lights because it gets fairly dark quickly. And I'm not sure I agree with them that it shouldn't be a cavern-only zone, but they allow anyone to go in. They say it's like a night dive.
And it is one of those spring-fed things, so the vis is always really good, or what? Or no?
The vis is good unless divers take it out.
Ah, got it. Muck it up. Mm-hmm. Now
if they silt it out, it takes a while, because it's unlike a spring in that there's no really upwelling. It hasn't...
Yeah.
The water goes into it, exits on the other side, and it's very gentle.
Understood. Now, you had mentioned there was one student that doesn't seem to be taking. What was her issue, or what was the problem?
Well, you know, this is the thing, Greg. She didn't have an issue underwater. She did everything I asked for her. You know, we start off with a safety drill, an S drill, and we're doing that. I'm just getting them acquainted to the darkness of it.
Uh-huh.
And we finish the dive. We come out of the... water, she says, you know, I don't think I want to do this.
Well, she just didn't like you or something, or what?
No, she was my student before. She's great. She's an awesome. She's got the buoyancy down. She's very trim. She's got all that stuff down, but it just, the darkness just didn't appeal to her. And I actually let her use my big bright light. Mm-hmm. And I'm using smaller lights because I'm trying to let them acclimate to the cave, not me.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, she might just be easily spooked. Doesn't like horror movies.
I don't think she was spooked. I don't think she was scared. She just wants to go out and pet pretty fishes, not wet rocks.
Ah, understood. Well, I feel that way. I mean, I'm not a big cave cavern diver there very much for that same reason. Only, I mean, I like it. I've been. But the problem I have is, like, once you go, they don't change very much, very, very little from dive to dive, let alone month to month, year to year, unlike where you hop into the ocean and you can do one dive and 10 minutes later do a second dive and see totally different stuff, you know, and that sense of not knowing what you might see or come across is really what appeals to me, that sense of adventure and, you know, unexpected surprises. You know, that appeals to me more. And then also...
I disagree with you on that.
Well, and then also the color.
I've had...
the color in the caves are a little bit more brownish and you know.
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen white, I've seen blue, I've seen bright orange, I've seen a tan. You know, you don't get to see the fossils. Of course, I love fossils.
Yeah.
You don't get to see the fossils out in open water that you get to see while you're diving in a cave.
Yeah.
Diving back into history.
Well, it is, and it is cool. I mean, and like you said, it's like a cave, walking through a cave. It's very similar in some of those places, and I love it. I think they're creepy and cool, and you can see fossils and stuff like that, but once again, they don't change.
And troglodytes.
They don't change much from dive to dive, though, really. I'm just saying that, for me, I love that sense of adventure and not knowing what to expect.
Some caves you get to see the blind crawfish. Some caves you get to see the blind, not gecko.
Yeah, man. Scuba
Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
Have you been putting off your next dive because you can't locate your PADI certification card? Chances are it's been a while since your last dive and you need to refresh your scuba skills. When you take the all-new PADI Reactivate course, you can do both. Designed to give divers the confidence to get back in the water, PADI Reactivate will refresh the fundamental scuba skills you need to jump back in. Contact a PADI Dive Center, resort, or instructor and sign up for PADI Reactivate today.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hi, this is Joe, a dive instructor on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
I'm a free fish.
I'm known for spicing up the briefings by dressing up. And apparently, this guy has dubbed me the Lady Gaga of the Seven Seas. Honestly, I think he's a little jealous. Greg the Dive Master, take it away, fancy boy.
All right, I still don't really know what that term means, but I think it's a compliment. I am Greg the Dive Master, a.k.a. Fancy Boy. And I got Bubble Boy in the studio with me, as well as Jerry the Diver Guy and Pete from Scuba Board. So, we're talking a little bit about some of the cave diving adventures Pete has done. And just a little program note. We got Weiland coming up, the marine artist extraordinaire. He's going to be on the show here in just a bit. And just a warning, Scuba Radio's Drunken Sailor is planning to come into the studio and pitch the makers of Mermaid Rum on becoming their spokesperson. It is going to be a train wreck, I have no doubt about it, but something that will be hard to turn away from. So you've been warned, or you can prepare accordingly. You know, put on some protective clothing, whatever you need to do.
I put plastic on the floor, Greg.
Okay, good. Good plan.
You'll be moved by the spirits.
Yes, definitely. I have no doubt about it. All right, so you were diving up there at Paradise Springs, and you described some of the, you know, like a small opening, and then it opens up to this big cavern that everybody can swim around. Where do you go from there, though? When you're talking about diving versus the caves and open ocean, you know, I was talking about how I feel about it. And I know you love it, Pete, and I'm not knocking it. Don't get me wrong. It's just my personal preference. And, you know, everybody has.
And it's good to have personal preferences.
Yeah, that's fine. But like, you know, the way you describe it to me, you go into that small opening and then there's this big, you know, area that everybody can swim around in and explore fossils. Is that it? Or can you go other places or what? What do you do?
Well, it's got a debris field. It starts at about, 15, 16 feet at the top. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a cone. And you can swim down the cone. So, you can get down to about 100 feet before it becomes a cave.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, and so it funnels down like a toilet bowl.
Except it gets bigger as it goes down.
Okay. So the opening...
It opens up as it goes down.
I see. Interesting. Okay. All right, I got you.
So it gets really just huge. And, you know, you'll see, you know, if you started counting them, I think you'd stop at $1 million sand dollars and maybe 2 or 3 million shell fossils. Hmm. I mean, the number of fossils is just staggering. Now, you can't take any with you. Don't take any with you.
Right.
But it's cool to look at them. They have live stuff down there. Like they have catfish, not blind ones. They have crawdads, which are troglodytes. They are blind in Paradise Spring. Hmm. All sorts of minnows and brim and stuff like that are swimming around. Even some placostomus. Some of those aquarium catfish are in there.
Okay. Aquarium catfish. I don't know what that means. I mean, other than...
They're called plecos or placostomus, armored catfish.
Yeah.
They're... like they real escape long, from the aquariums.
Okay, real long whiskers and stuff. Am I right? Those type? Or no?
Yeah.
Not really?
I don't remember seeing real long whiskers. They're just, they're very hard.
They look like it got an armor on it.
Okay.
They do. They're like 2-3 inches in the aquarium. The ones in Paradise are probably about a foot long.
Hmm.
Okay. I've seen them in the St. John's up to 5 foot long.
Got it.
They get huge.
What about...
And I think they're from Asia somewhere.
No, those blind, you know, crawfish you're talking about, are those edible things? I mean, you're not allowed
to
take stuff...
Don't touch the crawfish. They're protected.
Okay, so they are. That's what I'm wondering. So that type of stuff is protected as well. Everything's protected. What, because it's state park or something, or what?
No. Blind crawfish are protected because they are endangered. There's not that many of them there.
Mm-hmm.
Regular crawfish are not endangered.
Got it.
You can eat those.
What are the...
Catfish, not endangered. Eat them.
What's the rules on blind crawfish? Are you allowed to, like, lay your hand out and let them crawl over your hand, or is that a no-no as well? I mean, if they're protected like that, do you know?
You know, you're not going to be able to do that.
They're too skittish.
They sense vibrations in the water. They're very skittish. It's kind of fun to... You're going along, all of a sudden there's something swimming in front of you. It'll actually startle most people the first first 10 or 15 times it happens, but then they scoot away, and, you know, your light's really not bothering them, so you can actually put a light on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see their organs. You can see right through them.
Gross.
Not gross. It's cool.
Okay. It's cool.
It's like being in a little science lab.
Okay. But you couldn't, like...
See the heart beating and...
There's no blind crawfish whisperers out there that can, like, get one of those, you know, critters to crawl up on your hand like a lobster?
I haven't seen any.
You know? See, I just wonder. But I wonder if that would be do they have, like, harassment rules there when it comes to blind crawfish like it does for, you know, manatees and things? You hear what I'm saying?
I haven't heard of any.
Yeah. I mean, they...
Now, some places you go and you have the, I can't think of, newts. You have blind newts.
Yeah.
The underwater lizards.
Okay.
And again, they're albino, they're white. You can usually tell stuff that's blind because it's, you know, all white. And I've seen blind catfish. You go to Mexico, you've seen other fish that have gone blind because they've moved out of the light and into the cave only.
Mm-hmm. So they've moved from the light to the dark. They moved from the light to the dark. How creepy is that? I mean, that's it. You know, this does sound like it'd be fun to do for Halloween since we're so close, you know?
I knew a witch once. She turned me into a newt.
Okay.
No newts is good newts.
Oh, yeah. Good thing the show's about, or at least this hour is about to wrap up.
I got better.
So I don't know, but it does sound like it'd be, you know, it is a good time of year to consider some of these cave dives here in Florida. And it is,
Jenny.
The wind is blowing up off the shore anyway, so that's what a lot of Florida divers, like, you know, Pete, who lives down in the Florida Keys, does. All right, so look, that had to do it for hour one. Hour two is going to kick off with Scuba Radio's Drunken Sailor and his pitch to the makers of Mermaid Rum. And once again, you've been warned. Okay. Weiland, too. And, one of our mermaids is going to check in with us in hour two as well. So stick around. Just getting started right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.